Is there such thing as a saving gene? A piece of DNA that makes a person put something aside for a rainy day? I am Rob West. I'll go out on a limb and say that saving is probably not hereditary. In fact, most savers will probably tell you it's a habit they had to learn. Maybe it took a few tries. I'll talk about that today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, saving begins with having the right attitude, one that makes you want to hang on to those hard-earned dollars. So the next time you're at work, think about why you're working, and it's probably not so you can spend frivolously. But there's no doubt that spending is easy because it seems that is in our DNA. We see things, we want them, we buy them. It doesn't take skill or practice, but to a certain extent, both spending and saving are governed by habit. The more you do something, the easier it gets. Now, have you noticed that it's really tough to break a bad habit by just not doing it? It leaves a void. It's actually much easier to replace one habit for another. In this case, replace the bad habit of frivolous spending or impulse buying with a good habit, saving. Obviously, you need to be on a spending plan to get started. You have to know your income and necessary expenses each month, and that will tell you how much discretionary income you have. That's your spending plan. And there's no better way to set up your spending plan than with the free MoneyWise app. It has three different ways, including a digital envelope system that you can use to put together your budget. Just look for MoneyWise Biblical Finance where you get your apps. Okay, once your budget is put together with the discretionary income you have left over, you can develop your saving plan. And that's important. Don't think of it as saving just to save. Instead, set goals for yourself. First is your emergency fund. Start with a goal of $1,500, then a month's worth of expenses, then another, until you have 3 to 6 months living expenses in the bank. Notice how that saving plan is incremental and starts small. That's important and very practical. We don't tell people to just save 6 months' expenses because that sounds really difficult. So we break it up into smaller, reachable goals. If you don't think you can reach your goal, you won't be motivated to try. And saving requires discipline and persistence. You have to be intentional about it. So start with a small goal, and you don't even have to think, I'll save $1,500 this year. Instead, think of it as just $30 a week. And if you miss a week, that's okay. Just try harder to save that much next week. When it becomes routine to save $30 a week, increase it to $40 or $50 a week until you establish that habit. Having short-term attainable goals like that is a natural brake on your spending. You'll want to hold off on impulse buying so you can stay on budget and reach your weekly savings goal. By the way, this is where using a cash system with envelopes like you'll find in the MoneyWise app is a huge help because when the money runs out in a category, it puts another brake on spending. Now, no matter what kind of budget you set up, you have to be very careful with debit cards. The MoneyWise app will alert you when you overspend in a category, but why not avoid it in the first place? Write yourself a sticky note that says, "Have I reached my savings goal this week or this month?" That little reminder can take the fun right out of overspending. Here's something else a lot of people don't realize. The urge to buy a particular item usually has a shelf life. It will go away. So for small purchases, give yourself a 24-hour rule. Put it on hold for a day and see if you still want it tomorrow. Often you won't. For larger purchases, you can use the 30-day rule. It says to wait a month before buying anything over $100, unless it's a necessary expense like your car needs brakes. That'll give you time to think, do some research, and then determine if you really need or want the item and how buying it might affect your savings goal. In most cases, after 30 days, the urge to buy will be gone. Here's another trick. While you're in that waiting period, don't think about the price tag just in terms of money. You can think about how expensive the item is in terms of your time. Divide your weekly paycheck by 40 so you know how much you net per hour. Let's say it's $20. Then you know you'll have to work 5 whole hours to pay for a $100 item. Our friend Ron Blue likes to include taxes into that mix. You've had to pay Uncle Sam first, so a $100 item actually costs you about $130. $10 or 6.5 hours of work. Keeping those things in mind will definitely take the fun out of impulse buying. No, saving isn't a genetic trait. It's an acquired habit. You can learn to save. All right, your calls are next. The number is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options in plain English? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit MoneyWise.org and click the link that says Find a CKA. That's MoneyWise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. SoundMindInvesting.org.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
So they asked me to enter my email address. And the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Joining us today on MoneyWise, I'm Rob West, your host. Delighted to have you with us today as we unpack God's Word and apply it to the financial decisions and choices you're making. We've got some phone lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. What's on your mind? Is it your spending plan or saving for the future? Perhaps it's your giving plan, or maybe it's paying down that debt that just can't seem to get rid of. Whatever it might be, we'd love to chat with you today. Let's do it together. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Hey, before we dive in today, let me talk to you about this idea that money issues are heart issues. You know, this is a foundational concept that when we recognize God owns it all, that we're stewards or managers of God's resources, and money then becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We also recognize that money issues really are revealers of where we place our trust. You know, when we recognize that the way we allocate God's resources tells a story about what's important to us, then we have to go back to that idea that maybe it doesn't accurately reflect our values, and maybe we need to make a change. You know, as we evaluate our spending decisions, we look at our check register or a printout of our financial accounts online, it really does reflect our values and our priorities. And so I think we always need to be asking ourselves, Lord, is this an accurate reflection of where you're taking me, what you're doing in my life? Am I holding what you've entrusted to me loosely and giving generously? And do I need to make a change? You know, we can enjoy what God has entrusted to us to build memories and foster relationships, take trips, things like that. But we can also use it to share with others in need. Well, I think as we recognize that money issues are heart issues, it does cause us to look inward and realize that God's always been about our hearts, not our money. And I like to say that the way we handle money is the training ground of the heart. And so as we evaluate that, I hope, as I do, that you'll go back to the Lord and just say, what would you have me to do with your resources? And I think it's an incredible opportunity for each of us to continually ask that question. Hey, let's apply God's principles to your financial decisions and choices today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to begin in Texas today. Miguel, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, I got a question. I sold the house, and I got another house that I own, and I'm living in right now. And my question is this worth it to pay it off, that I have the option to pay it off?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So you sold one home, and what did you realize in terms of the proceeds on that?
Well, I had a home 3 years ago. I bought a home.
Okay.
And I bought 6 months ago a rental. But
okay,
Now I'm not renting it, and I renovated, and I'm in now right now in that one, and I sold the one that I used to have 2 years ago.
Okay,
so
all right,
that money is enough to pay off and put away some money and pay all my bills.
Yes.
So that's my question.
Sure. So you moved into the rental. It's been renovated. Mm-hmm. And Miguel, mm-hmm, do you plan to stay in that home as your primary residence for the foreseeable future?
Well, for now, yes, but if not 100%, but for now, for 2-3 years, yes.
Okay. And what is the mortgage on that rental property that you now occupy?
$1,200 $1,296.
Okay. And do you know the balance on the mortgage, roughly?
$169.
Okay. And what do you think that home is worth? Do you have an idea?
Right now, they sold one nearby for $300,000.
Okay, about $300,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. And what did you, what were you able to put in the bank when you sold the primary residence?
Well, because I paid what I renovate, because I had a loan. I got a loan first to renovate that house. So I will be able to put, after paying everything, I will be able to put like $60,000, paying everything off.
Okay. So you've got $60,000, and that would be after paying the rental mortgage that you now occupy, or before you pay off or down that mortgage?
Paying everything off, I'm going to put $60,000 on the bank, and I'm going to also have like another $10,000 for me to do a little bit of more things that I want to do. But yeah, it's $60,000 after paying everything.
Okay, and then you would own that rental home that you now occupy free and clear, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a great option. Miguel, are you also saving for the long term through a company-sponsored retirement plan or some sort of long-term retirement savings?
Yes, I got a 401k match, 6% with the company.
Okay.
And I also, that's what I have, yeah.
Very good. And do you know what percent of your income you're putting into that?
I'm putting out 6%.
Okay.
They matching. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. I'd love for you to get up to 10 to 15% going in, and that can include both the portion you're putting in as salary deferral and the matching portion so that the total comes in at around 10 to 15%. I think that would be a good goal for you over time. I like this plan a lot, Miguel, because it's going to put you in a position where you're completely debt-free. I love that. You're going to have plenty of emergency reserves to fall back on. I'd like for you to have 3 to 6 months worth of expenses in a liquid savings account, not inside your checking account, which would be your spending account for your monthly bills, but separate. I usually recommend you'd use an online savings account, like an online bank like Marcus, Capital One 360, Ally Bank, one of those, where you can link it to your checking account. So it's only 2 or 3 days away from accessing it with an ACH transfer without any cost. You're getting a little bit of interest, and it's climbing right now, about 0.6%, a little more than 0.5%. But the idea is that it's safe, it's available, but not too available, so you have a tendency to spend it. And then moving forward, you know, you're keeping your expenses as low as possible, which is going to give you ultimate flexibility. Use that opportunity to spend frivolously, though. I'd want you to really to dial into that budget so that you can really give priority to the margin that you have, the excess that you have after your bills are paid, whatever's left over every month. Use that according to where God is leading you, what your values are. Do you want to increase your tithe or your giving? Do you want to be able to save for other savings goals? But I think this idea that you would be debt-free, and even if you sold this home 3 years or so down the road, to be able to take 100% of that and whatever the home appreciates to in that time and roll that into your next property, I'd love for you never to have a mortgage ever again if you can do it. So Miguel, I think this is exactly the way to go, and I think you'll be thrilled you did it. All right?
Also, I told my wife, you know what, now that we are debt-free, what I'm going to do is every month I'm going to get a gift card of $200 in a supermarket like HEB and then give it to a person that is needed. So
I love that idea.
That's what I want to do.
I love that idea.
That's
what I call lifestyle generosity, you know, where you're looking for opportunities, the people on your path. I mean, yeah, we should give systematically and we should give based upon our increase, starting with the local church. But I love the idea that beyond that, you would just be looking for an opportunity to take a portion of what God has entrusted to you and be generous and meet needs around you. And as you begin looking for those opportunities, Miguel, I think God will perhaps even show you folks maybe you didn't see previously, but all of a sudden, because you're kind of tuned into that, they'll just be all over the place. And I know that'll be a great blessing. Well, thanks for calling, my friend. I appreciate your generous heart, and may the Lord bless you. Hey, may we take Miguel's challenge today and do something with it. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to pick up some gift cards and look for people who need some help on your path. We'll be right back on MoneyWise on American Family Radio, just around the corner. Stick around.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either, but you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Hi, I'm Will.
And I'm Miki.
And we've been married 16 years. You know, one of the things that Miki asked me before we got married, she's like, why do you want to marry me? What is it about me? Really, the Lord had put on my heart that God was putting us together for destiny and for purpose, and that He had a ministry that He desired to do through us, that, you know, we were both ministering on our own, but together, that God was going to, you know, use us to minister.
There is no one who is closer to you than your spouse, and there is no one who knows you better. And this is by God's design. Marriage is the first institution that God has given us to shape us and to mold us and to show us ourselves. It's a beautiful picture.
Tune in to By Design as we explore God's true purpose and design for marriage. Just visit the podcast page at AFR.net.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
We're delighted to have you along with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's truth to your financial decisions and choices. There's only a few things we can do with money. I know it seems like it's unlimited, but really there's the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe, and the money we grow. And guess what? God's word speaks to all of it. 2,600 verses throughout the counsel of Scripture, we see the heart of God as we handle His resources, realizing that money issues are hard issues, but there's practical wisdom and principles we can apply to our everyday choices. Well, we do that together each morning here on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Let's go right back to the phones, 800-525-7000. By the way, we have a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Ben is in Arkansas, and Ben, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir. Hey, Ben, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Great. Go right ahead.
How can you save with the inflation how it is?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, Ben. You know, we started today in the opening segment by talking about saving, and it can seem incredibly difficult in normal times, and these are anything but normal times. I mentioned yesterday, the latest data says that the average family is spending about $450 more per month with the increased costs of goods and services. We're seeing it at the gas pump. We're seeing it at the grocery store. We're seeing it all over the place. And I realize, Ben, it can make it incredibly difficult, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. So I think there's a couple of thoughts, as to how you can go about this. Number one, and this is all going to sound easier than it is, so I recognize that. But number one, we've got to go back to that spending plan. You know, if we have been operating just, you know, paying bills as they come in and trying to watch our spending, but without a real plan where we've tracked for 30 or 60 days to get a good handle on what we're actually spending, not only been on those things we get a bill for, but those things that I call discretionary expenses, like eating out, or you might pick up some clothes or entertainment or something like that. How much are you actually spending on a monthly basis? Let's get all of that captured in one place, get it categorized so we can figure out what the outgo is. And then we've got to compare that to your income. If you're a salaried W-2 worker, that's pretty easy because your income is consistent. If you're getting paid, commissions or overtime, or you work for yourself, you have your own business, a little more difficult because the income will fluctuate. And in that case, we need to take a conservative average. And then in those high watermark months where you have a little bit more, you kind of put everything into savings and then pay yourself out of savings a consistent amount just to try to help smooth out the ebbs and flows of your income. But regardless of what that looks like, once you establish that budget, and that's got to be updated now because everything's more expensive, then we'll determine, this is key, are we actually able to cover our expenses during the month and do that with a little bit left over, or are we going underwater? And then we've got to make the hard choices on how can we cut back. Some practical things like making a meal plan and a grocery list and sticking to it, avoiding eating out, taking a lunch to work, looking for sales, buy one, get one deals, finding gas stations that offer lower prices, those types of things. If we're in trouble with credit cards, our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org can help with one consistent monthly payment so you can actually make some progress on these
credit cards with lower interest rates. I would also say don't reduce your giving. Try to make that a priority. Trust the Lord in that. And then finally, Ben, to your original question about saving in these inflationary times, I would say the key is automating that saving. And remember, it doesn't have to be an astronomical amount. It could be a minimal amount, maybe $20 a month. It's just you set up an automatic transfer to a savings account. You can open a free online savings account at many of the online banks. And if you just set up a transfer of $20 a month out of your checking account, at least something's going there. So when the unexpected comes, you can fall back on it. So I realize that there's not a silver bullet here. It's challenging, but I think it all starts with that spending plan. But give me your thoughts.
I do agree on the spending plan, or you can go fill up one day with gas, and it's 10 cents cheaper than the next day. I mean.
Yes, sir. Well, I think that's the key. And, you know, as you begin to walk through this and kind of look back at, you know, what their expenses look like right now, there's invariably going to be some changes that are needed. Let me offer one other idea, Ben. We have what are called MoneyWise coaches. These are men and women who have been trained to be financial coaches. This is their ministry. There's no charge for it. And I'd love to make one of our coaches available to you to walk alongside you as perhaps you bring a fresh set of eyes to your spending plan to determine exactly where you're at. Maybe they can give you some tips or ideas when they're looking at your actual numbers, if you want to share that with them, to see if there's some cost savings that can occur as a part of that. So if you would go to our website, moneywise.org, click on the community tab, and not only will you find our digital community where you can post questions and get answers from others in the MoneyWise community, but you'll see a button that says connect with a coach. Again, there's no cost for that. And this is somebody who could come alongside you, pray with you, encourage you, but also help you set up that spending plan. So check out our website, moneywise.org. And again, click the community tab. Well, in just a moment, we're going to take another quick break. We do have some lines open today, including Shirley in Tennessee. We'll get to you in just a moment. And perhaps your question today, the number to call to get in on the conversation is 800-525-7000. It's 800-525-7000. You know, this is one of those times where we realize the value of what we call the emergency fund, that 3 to 6 months worth of expenses for the unexpected. And guess what? The unexpected always comes. It's just a matter of time before something comes out of left field that we didn't plan for, that we need to have resources for. And this is one of those times where nobody anticipated that inflation would be sitting at 8.26% right now. And that means increased costs that we may not have been able to absorb into our budget. Well, that's where that emergency fund can be really helpful during a season like this, where we need to draw from that to supplement. So whenever you can, let's be diligent in automating our savings so we can build that up. More on MoneyWise just around the corner. We'll be right back. Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm a layman here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity. How is it possible that we've gotten to where we are today? Here in the greatest country in the history of the world, over 70% of us are going to bed every night in fear of impending doom. Every day brings more bad news. Just when you think it couldn't get any crazier, it gets crazier. As hard as this is for those of us who are Christians who know we're about to escape this place and spend eternity together, imagine what this must be like for those who don't know God and are trying to cope with this world in their own strength. That's where 80% of our population is today. God help them, and God help us to help them by being their conduit to God at every opportunity. You may be the only conduit they have to God, so you need to start injecting God into every conversation. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. We can help you at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Delighted to take your calls and questions today on anything financial as we apply God's truth to the decisions and choices you're making each day. We'd love to hear from you. We have a few lines open at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. Tennessee, Shirley, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. And sure. I want to say what a delight and joy and how thankful I am for your ministry. Oh, I remember following Larry Burkett and buying his books on how to manage my money and organize myself.
Yes.
And then Ben Cilia stepped in after he passed, and now you guys are holding down the fort. So praise the Lord.
Well,
I'm going to listen over line. I just wanted to know, with the economy continuously going down, it seems like we keep getting hit in the stock market. I was a little afraid to even put any money into any stocks or anything. And I just want to know, is it even a good idea to be investing right now when we keep getting hit so bad in the stock market and everybody's saying that we're going to end up with a downturn that changes us over to some sort of digital money?
Yeah. Well, Shirley, I appreciate your kind remarks, and it's a great question. Let me just say, as to Larry Burkett's impact, incredible. Not a week that goes by that somebody doesn't mention Larry's kind heart and just his practical, godly wisdom about finances and the impact that it had in their lives. And then, of course, Dan Cilia, incredible radio program here on American Family Radio for many years. Dan, a gifted radio host, financial expert and dear friend of this ministry, and we were all so heartbroken at his passing, and yet know he's in the face of Jesus right now, and that's the place we will all be at some point, but so thankful for the incredible wisdom he brought each day on this program, and now for the opportunity to be able to come alongside American Family Radio here with MoneyWise and our ministry and just encourage and love you and be able to share in a kind-hearted way God's truth for managing his money is a privilege that we really don't take lightly. And you ask a really important question, Shirley, about the economy. And clearly, you know, we've got some pretty big headwinds ahead of us. You know, recessions occur typically about every 10 years or so, sometimes more frequently. They're a normal part of the business cycle in a free market economy. You know, the technical definition of a recession is when gross domestic product, GDP, goes down in two consecutive quarters. And typically, the average recession lasts 11 months, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research. We saw, you know, obviously a pretty significant decline in the markets, in the first part of the pandemic, the fastest decline to a bear market in history, the fastest rise to a bull market following it. But this is a little different. I mean, obviously, inflation running rampant right now, despite what the Fed originally said about it being transitory, it's not. And everybody's acknowledging that. I think former Treasury Secretary Yellen said just yesterday that, you know, she was wrong when she called inflation transitory. The Fed is, you know, coming a little late to the party, trying to flip all the levers they can. I know even the CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, was out this morning saying the economy's headed for a hurricane. So nevertheless, we've got, a very strong economy currently. We're still seeing a mixed bag in terms of earnings reports. And, could we be into a recession sometime next year? Probably. You know, it's probably the base case at this point. We could miss it, but we'll likely see that occur. But I don't think that's something to be worried about, in my view. I think it really always comes back to our time horizon and our investment philosophy. Why are we investing? Is it truly for the long term? Do we have at least a 10-year time horizon? Are we invested in a way that's appropriate for our age, goals, objectives, and risk tolerance? And if we are, I think we stay the course, especially if we're continuing to invest. You know, dollar cost averaging is a powerful force, surely, because we're investing perhaps the same amount of money if we're doing it systematically, but we're buying more shares of the same investments as they come down. And who wants to buy at the top all the time? Stocks are on sale right now. Now, could there be more downside? Absolutely. And that's probably expected. But I think this is an opportunity to continue to invest so that as we move beyond that, remember I said the average recession lasts 11 months, we move to higher highs. And especially in these inflationary times, I think a properly diversified long-term investment strategy is the very best way to overcome the purchasing power that you're losing with your money because of inflation in the ability you have to grow it through stock and bond investing. Now, should we consider other asset classes? Should we have an asset or an allocation to gold and real estate and, you know, perhaps others? Sure. But I think it starts with that core long-term perspective with a stock and bond portfolio. So I would say to you at the end of the day, with all of that said, I would be still an investor. I'd be long the market. I'd use it as a time to evaluate, was I too aggressive based on my goals, age, and objectives? And if not, then I stay the course. And I think that's the right perspective as we evaluate kind of where we are right now, what's to come, not being fearful, and continuing to trust the Lord because He is our provider. All right, let's head to Virginia. Ed, you're next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I have two questions. One is, my wife passed away January in a fatal car accident, and she was making over $100,000 a year. So my tithe, should that change accordingly, or should I keep trying to tithe what I was that we were tithing at the time?
Yeah,
is my first question. My second question is, there's life insurance policies that are coming in, or will be coming in. Am I supposed to tithe on them also?
Yeah. Well, Ed, I'm so sorry to hear about your wife's sudden passing. We'll pray that the Lord will be near to you during this season, which I know is incredibly difficult. And I so appreciate your question because clearly, Ed, you want to honor the Lord with what He's entrusted to you. You want to be found faithful in your giving. And I love that. When we look throughout the counsel of Scripture, we see that we should be givers. You know, we were created in the image of God. He's the ultimate giver. I like to say we're most like Him when we're giving. And in fact, it's not what does God want from us? I think giving is about what God wants for us because of the joy that follows to be connected to God's activity, whether that's at your local church or helping somebody on your path who's in need or to the ends of the earth. Giving is a privilege, and we should be a pipeline into God's activity with His provision, not a reservoir. God's provision shouldn't stop with us. God's provision, in part, should flow through us into His activity. And I love the principle of the tithe. You know, we see clearly the tithe tithe taught in the Old Testament under the law. There was actually multiple tithes that actually totaled up to, even though the word tithe means a tenth, when you put them all together, it was about 23 1/3% that they were giving. And then we see reference to it in the New Testament, although Jesus raised the bar. Remember, he celebrated the widow who gave everything. And, you know, we see that we should give proportionately. To whom much is given, much is required. And so I think, if anything, we can start with the principle of the tithe. But my friend Randy Alcorn calls that the training wheels of giving, the beginning point. So let's get to your specific question. If we apply the principle of the tithe, giving a tenth from our increase, what is your increase? Well, as to your income, it's what's coming in as provision. So if that income of your wife's has gone away, then as it relates to the tithe, that's not part of your increase anymore. So you would give based on your increase, which would be your income. Do I see life insurance proceeds as your increase? I do, actually. Some might say no, but I do. It's part of God's provision to you. We'll be right back with MoneyWise. Stay on the line, Ed. Let's talk off the air.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Dear 1 million moms, I've always thought that maybe your organization was making a mountain out of a molehill. But today, I cannot believe what I just saw on my TV.
Concerned about the trash flowing into your home through today's media that simply will not censor itself? Make your voice heard. If you see trash in the media, tell us. Use the Submit Trash button at 1millionmoms.com. That's 1millionmoms.com. And thanks.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Just before the break, we were talking to Ed. Ed's wife recently passed away. He's wondering if he should continue to tithe at the same level now that her income is not coming into the home, and on life insurance proceeds. Ed, I was saying, you know, obviously, if we apply the principle of the tithe on the increase, we wouldn't give on an income that has come down, although you can't outgive God. So certainly, if you want to continue at that level, I think there's plenty of benefit spiritually and otherwise that comes with that. And then obviously I would see the proceeds of the life insurance as an increase as well. But give me your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are pretty much the same. I've been tithing my income now. And I've also given 10% of the proceeds of the insurance policies that have come in to my local church.
That's great.
And I am helping some people that are in get involved in some ministries that I feel like are going to help others. So I've been given a few dollars there too. And it's all to the glory of God. It's not me. It's just what he's put in my heart through the years of sitting down and studying and talking with my wife that I was married to for 40 years.
Yeah. Well, Ed, my heart breaks for you, my friend. And I'm so encouraged, though, that in this difficult season that you're in right now, you are outwardly focused. And that's just the joy of the Lord in you, in being able to, even in the midst of this really trying time, for you to be able to say, I see others, I see their need. I want to be about what God is doing in their lives, and God will honor that. Can I pray for you, my friend?
Sure.
Let me do that. Father, we just lift that up to you. Lord, you are near to the brokenhearted, and we just ask that your Holy Spirit would descend upon him. Lord, that you would just encourage and comfort him during his difficult time. Lord, but you would also give him a vision as the days and weeks unfold ahead of him for what you have for him. We know that when we surrender our lives to you, that we have the hope of heaven, and we're so thankful for that, that we will be reunited with our loved ones in heaven someday. But while you have us here on this earth, we know you have a calling that does not have an expiration date until you call us home. So may you give Ed a fresh vision for what that calling is for him in the days ahead. And I just pray that you'd be near to him right now. We trust you and we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed, I appreciate your call, my friend. May the Lord bless you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Let's head to Texas next to talk to Ron, 800-525-7000. Ron, you're on MoneyWise. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to ask a question. You were talking to a gentleman earlier, and I didn't catch his name, but he was talking about he had a house, and he remodeled a house and sold a house, and you were telling him to increase his giving into his 401k with, I'm assuming, his job, up to about 10 or 15%. Would that still be the case if they were like only matching it the 6% level? They would match however much they match.
Yeah.
Would you still do that if what they're investing in is not a biblically sound investment?
Well, that's a great question. So let's talk about both sides of that in terms of the target allocation toward retirement, the percentage you should shoot for as a goal, and then let's talk about investing aligned with your values and your priorities as a believer. In terms of setting money aside for the long term, you know, we've got to always start on our knees saying, Lord, what do you have for us? What are our values and priorities? How much should we be giving? How much should we keep? What does that mean in terms of our lifestyle? How much is enough? And how much is enough for the future? We don't want to just save for saving's sake. We want to save with a specific purpose in mind. And I think part of that, even though as believers we approach retirement differently, it's not a season just to cease all productive activity and walk the beach. There's nothing wrong with walking the beach, but I think as believers we recognize we have a calling on our lives. That's a season where we have the most wisdom and experience to bring in God's service. And so we should always be asking, Lord, what do you have for me? But we need to save for the future so that when we can't work, we have the ability to continue to fund our lifestyle, whatever God has called us to. And keep in mind, Social Security, and with its challenges in its current form, is only intended to offset about 40% of our pre-retirement income. And with most people living on about 80% of pre-retirement income in retirement, we need to make up that gap through savings. So that's where a target, Ron, of 10 to 15% of your pay going toward retirement is really, you know, probably the best target to get you to the point where you need to be in terms of your ultimate accumulation so that you can fund retirement and supplement Social Security to continue funding your expenses. That's going to be made up of hopefully a portion that you're contributing as salary deferral and a match, but some people don't have the match. So if you don't have the match, I like the idea of fully funding a Roth IRA first, and then you'll hit that max pretty quick. And so then I would go back to the 401k. The reason I would choose the 401k is just because of the salary deferral opportunity and the tax deferred environment. So that money is growing on a tax deferred basis. Now, let's talk about faith-based investment options. The good news is many 401ks are adding faith-based investing options. You know, the Eventide Fund family, Praxis, the Timothy Plan, Camelot, Crossmark Global. I mean, we're seeing many of these coming into play. And so I would be looking at what's available. Many of those fund families you'll find on our website at moneywise.org. But there's a growing number of fund families that are intentionally avoiding companies that are misaligned with your values and embracing other companies having a positive impact in the world and even a kingdom impact. So I would be looking inside your 401k to invest in those faith-based investing options if that's a conviction of yours. If you don't have any of those available, I think it's only a matter of time. But finally, I would say you certainly could invest outside of it. You're just going to miss the tax benefits of doing that in a tax-deferred environment. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but basically, if you're investing inside the tax deferral program, what happens if the government turns around and decides they want to change what you can do with that money that you've invested under the tax deferral?
Yeah. Yeah.
401k.
Well, I think, that's something obviously that's a lot of folks are talking about. It would obviously require legislative changes that would be incredibly unpopular. Is it impossible? No. Is that the base case, in my view, that we would see changes that would really pull some of these benefits out from under Americans who have been investing in their 401ks with this intention for a long, long time? That's not what I think we would be looking at anytime soon. And so I think that's still the very best place, in my view, to be putting your long-term investments. Some may disagree. It's why we need to be active in terms of policymakers and, how we vote and, who is helping to make and form policy and make legislation in the days ahead. But, given how many Americans are relying on 401ks and tax-deferred retirement accounts, that's not the trajectory I see in terms of how difficult that would be to get everybody on board with making those kinds of changes. So from my view, that's still the very best place to save for the long term. Hopefully that's helped to you, Ron. We appreciate you checking in with us today. May the Lord bless you, sir. Hey, let's finish in Alabama today. Jim, how can I help you?
Yes, quick question. And I've been struggling this for a while, but I have an inheritance that was given to me when I was really little, and it's been put into markets. My granddad put it into the market. And now as an adult, I take out for me and my family $5,000 a month to live on, but I'm not sure how to tithe on an inheritance and, monthly going forward. Do you have a recommendation the best way to tithe on that? It's invested in the markets.
Okay. It's in stocks and bonds?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple of thoughts there. There's the increase that you received when you received the inheritance. Okay. So that was an increase that ultimately is from the Lord because God owns it all. It came by way of an inheritance at somebody's passing, but that's your increase, that full amount. So at that point, if you wanted to apply the principle of the tithe, you would say, well, this whole amount is an increase, so I will take a tenth of that. And this is where I would use a donor-advised fund. Our friends at the National Christian Foundation can set up a giving fund for you, which is essentially where you'd make a single gift into a donor-advised fund. You'd get the full tax deduction in the year you make the gift. And then it's like a charitable checking account at that point where you could then make gifts out of your donor advised fund with a couple of clicks of a button to any Christian ministry, charity, your local church at your discretion and in your timing. And that could extend over the next several years, especially if that's a larger amount. You may not want to do all of that at once. So then you've tithed on the initial increase. Now you're asking about, okay, but then what about if I turn around and invest that? And the way I would approach that is probably to look at it in terms of taking it either semi-annually or annually. The easiest is annually when you file your taxes. You'll be able to determine what your gain was for the year because you're going to have realized losses, you'll have realized gains, and if the net of that is a gain, then you would tithe on that increase as you realize profits, not paper losses and profits where you haven't sold something, but if you take all the gains and losses for a year and you're positive at the end of the year, then that would be the money that you would tithe on. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Awesome. Well, good deal, Jim. Well, I appreciate you checking in with us today. Thanks so much for asking about giving. I'm so impressed. This is day two of MoneyWise on American Family Radio, and this is a generous audience. People keep asking about giving and tithing and helping people and gift cards to give to people they see on their path. It's awesome. That's how we should be thinking about using God's money. It's one of my favorite topics, and here's a big idea. This is something that I've learned over a long time. Giving breaks the grip of money over our lives. If something's going to have a grip, giving is going to unloose that. Hey, thanks to my team today. Thank you for being here for the second edition of MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.